This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Tuesday, August 14th, 2007. I'm Caleb Brown. With India's economy growing rapidly, what's the best way to help the poor take part in that prosperity? Parth Shah is the director of the Center for Civil Society in India. He says the key is education for poor children. And education vouchers are a key component of allowing children out of the public school system. His school choice campaign aims to bring school choice ideas to a minimum 50% of parents of public school children. Dr. Shah visited the Cato Institute last week. I was reading an analysis that your group had done on a piece of legislation from just a couple of years ago, and it seems like a lot of the problems in legislation in India sort of mirror problems in the United States in terms of education funding, in the sense that there is this incredible focus on the inputs associated with education, that is the dollars that go to the public schools, and not so much on the outputs, that is the quality of the education, the bang for the buck, if you will. Can you talk about the similarities between the problems faced in trying to achieve school choice for the U.S. and India?
Actually, you identified one of the most important problems in the Indian education system. Most people, if you talk to either in the U.S. Or in India, think that the lack of spending is the biggest problem in the system. What we found out through our research is that in cities like Delhi and Bangalore and Mumbai, the government spends about 800 to 1200 rupees a month per child in government schools. When I say this number to most people who know about Indian education system, they're extremely surprised. Because when if I were to ask them, what do you think how much government spends per child per month in government school, most people would answer 20 rupees, while the actual number is about 1,000 rupees. And so that tells you that there's enough money being spent. It's just the matter of how it is being spent that really creates the problem.
How are private schools regulated compared to public schools in India?
The private schools have to go through a very rigorous process of recognition and approval by the government. Government actually has very minute laws which specify, for example, the size of a classroom. That must be there in the school for it to be recognized. It not only size of a classroom, it specifies size of a window in a classroom. Not only that, the size of a window in a toilet is also specified in the law. So you have to meet all of those requirements in order to get recognition to operate as a private school. Now, if you look at the government schools, none of these hardly are ever being met by government schools. Many schools, even in the capital city of Delhi, operate from tent. We do not even have a building, a school building, right? But they are allowed to operate, while a private school which does not have a right-sized window in the toilet room would be closed down.
It is understandable to me from sort of a rent-seeking perspective, the fact that a school would not want to allow students to transfer out to go to a different school. But there was even a proposal in India to make sure that teachers would be bound to the school at which they taught. What's the explanation for that?
Yeah, it's quite a bizarre bizarre situation where you have to sort of treat teachers as slaves and tie them to a particular school. I think what has happened is that most teachers want to be close to their homes, to work in schools which are close to their homes. That means many of them come from urban areas. If government allows that to happen, then there are hardly any teachers in the rural areas. So currently what happens is the teachers who are appointed in rural schools, they want to get transferred back to the urban schools close to their homes. And because of this system, there's a huge churning of teachers. And the teachers keep moving back and forth. And to prevent that, the government thought the only way to sort of solve this problem is to tie the teacher to the school. So once you're appointed to the school, you must permanently work in that school, hoping that the teachers would move their homes to closer to the school that they're appointed to, as opposed to asking to move into a school which is closer to their existing homes.
Can you describe some of the prospects for future liberalization sort of the young person's education market?
They are very good. Actually, what is happening in India today, because of economic growth, and even the poor parents realize that the ticket to the future is good education for their children. So this is the fastest growing sector in Indian school education is the private schools for the poor, where the schools charge about 200 to 250 rupees a month and provide a much better quality education than the free government school. And so I see the growth in the budget private schools as a sign of the what's going to come. And as the poor begin to realize how much of a bad deal they have gotten under free education in the government school, that the system would have to be changed in a very radical manner. And the school choice campaign that we currently have in India, which is working across several states in India, builds on this foundation to the expansion of private schools for the poor and the capacity of the poor to pay some amount to get good education for the children. And so what we are asking governments to do now, that instead of pumping money into the failing government schools, this would give voucher to the poor parents and let them use that voucher to go to a school of their choice. So our slogan in India for the campaign is fund students, not schools. And in a way, we are asking government to convert the right to education, which is granted under the Indian Constitution, into a right to education of choice. So it's not enough to simply have right to education of the kind the government decides. I should have right to education of the kind that I decide. And I think that campaign, hopefully, along with what's going on in India, would be able to bring about radical reforms in the education system.
Parth Shah is the director of the Center for Civil Society in India. This is the Cato Daily Podcast. Please consider making a donation at our website, cato.org.